بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين، وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين، وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our lecture tonight is about the Islamic knowledge and how it is the gateway to success. The success in this life and the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran made some comparisons between those who are believers and those who are not. A comparison between the one who is knowledgeable and the one who is not. Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Fatir, Ayah 19, وَمَا يَسْتَوِي الْأَعْمَى وَالْبَصِيرِ, meaning not equal are the blind and the seeing. وَلَا الظُّلُمَاتُ وَلَا النُّورِ, darkness and light, they are not equal as well. وَلَا الظِّلُّ وَلَا الْحَرُورِ, الظِّلُّ the shade, الْحَرُورِ the hot wind, they're not equal. Also those who are alive and those who are dead, they are not equal. That means the believer is like the light and the non-believer is like darkness. The believer is like the one who can see, while the non-believer is like the one who is blind. The believer will have his comfort, while the non-believer is the one who will be worried. So they are not equal. The blind is not like the one who can see. The one who has acquired the knowledge will be like the person who can see. He can distinguish between what is right and what is wrong, what is true and what is false. He will be able to see what is on his way. If there is a pit on his way, he would avoid it, so he won't fall in it. But the one who has not acquired the knowledge about the religion will be like the blind person walking in a forest, and he might fall in any hole or pit. Also, the one who has not acquired the knowledge about religion, some scholars said he's like the one who is going to the forest at night to collect the firewoods. Imagine at night in the forest, he's collecting all these firewoods, sticks and the like, carrying them on his shoulder to bring them back home. He wouldn't be able to see if amongst what he's collecting, there is something that is harmful, like snakes or scorpions. So he might be harmed as he's collecting these firewoods and sticks. He might be harmed by a snake or a scorpion because he can't see. So the one who wants to practice the religion without knowledge, he might be harming himself in a way that he performs the acts of worship incorrectly, that it won't be accepted from him, so he will be sinful for not performing these acts of worship properly, and he will be held accountable on the day of judgment for not acquiring the knowledge. Also Allah Ta'ala said, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, meaning say, O Muhammad, are those who know equal to those who do not know? And the answer of course is they are not equal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us all these examples in the Quran so we can reflect upon the meanings. And that comparison is for us to reflect upon these two matters. The difference between belief and disbelief, the difference between knowledge and ignorance. Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Mujadala, Ayah 11, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. As you can see in this ayah, which means Allah raises the ranks of those among you who believe and those who were granted the Islamic knowledge. In this ayah, there is emphasis on acquiring the knowledge of the religion. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned first the belief. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ, those who believe. So why that is mentioned first? Because the proper belief is the foundation for the acceptance of any good deed. If one does not have the correct belief, which is the foundation, all the good deeds that he may perform wouldn't be accepted by Allah Azza wa Jal because he does not have the foundation. And to show the merit of the one who acquires the knowledge about religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran that those who have acquired the knowledge while having the correct belief in Allah and His Messenger will be raised in ranks in the hereafter. So the ayah, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ, and those who were granted the Islamic knowledge, they will be raised in ranks. You know from here that acquiring the knowledge about religion will raise your rank. That's why it is very important. In the hadith narrated by At-Tirmizi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that فضل العالم على العابد كفضلي على أدناكم. Now this hadith means the rank of the scholar compared to that of the worshipper is like my rank compared to the lowest of you. It's very obvious that the rank between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the best of the creations of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah did not create any creation that is better than Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the best of all the creations. Can you imagine the difference between his rank, the Prophet's rank, and the rank of the lowest one amongst the companions. Because the Prophet was addressing the companions in this hadith. He said, فَضْلُ الْعَالِمِ عَلَى الْعَابِدِ كَفَضْلِي عَلَى أَدْنَاكُمْ. The difference between the rank of the Prophet and the rank of the lowest one amongst the companions is a huge. And that's the same when it comes to the difference between the rank of the scholar, the true scholar, the one who acquired the knowledge about religion and became highly knowledgeable, and the one who is a true worshipper. When we say he a true worshipper, we are referring to the worshipper who is performing the acts of worship properly, not improperly. So he is performing them properly, meaning he is satisfying the conditions and the integrals, but he is not a scholar. Someone who is praying, fasting, he's fulfilling the integrals, the conditions, but such a person did not study the religion to an extent that he became a scholar. Although he is very active in performing the acts of worship, but because he's not a scholar, there is a huge difference between them. There is a huge difference between them. Also, in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the difference between the scholar and the worshipper is similar to the difference between the moon and the rest of the planets. See how the moon is beautiful? The difference between the moon and the rest of the planets. This is to show that there is a huge difference between the scholar and the one who is a worshipper but not a scholar. Why? To emphasize the importance of acquiring the knowledge about religion. We ask Allah to increase our knowledge in this glorious religion. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, the fourth caliph, and the son-in-law of the Prophet, and his cousin, radiyallahu anhu, said, the knowledge of Islam is better than money, because knowledge protects you, whereas you protect your money. If you have money, if you have a car, for instance, which is an expensive one, you're going to be worried about your car from being stolen. You would install an alarm to it, put a good system for it. Just imagine you hear the alarm at night. You would jump outside. You get off your bed, run outside just to see if there is someone who is trying to steal your car. You become worried about your money, because your money needs your protection. But when you acquire the knowledge about religion, that knowledge will protect you. See the difference? The knowledge protects you, however you protect your money. That's why Imam Ali radiallahu anhu used that statement, العلم يحرسك أما المال أنت تحرسه. The knowledge of the religion guards you, however you guard your money. You guard your money. You protect your money. Money will be spent. And as you spend your money, that's it. Your money will diminish, will not remain. You pay money here and there. You can calculate how many thousands you have spent so far. So you are spending your money, it's gone. But when you acquire the knowledge and you teach it to people, that will remain. If you teach some students, then after that you die. Even while you are at your grave, if those who have learned from you continue to teach, this knowledge that you have passed on to them, you will be rewarded while you are at your grave. So it is sadaqa jariya, a continuous, a charity that generates a continuous reward. Meaning that reward will be continuous. As long as they are preaching, teaching that knowledge they have acquired from you, they will be rewarded, and also you will be rewarded as well. So while you are in your grave, your rank is getting higher and higher because of that knowledge that you have taught to others. So that's a comparison between money and knowledge. Allah Ta'ala said to His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. This ayah means, O Muhammad, be firm in knowing and believing that no one is God except Allah. So fa'lam from ilm, knowledge. Fa'lam annahu la ilaha illallah. And this is to teach us. This is to teach us. There are some verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in fact, the one that is meant by that address is his nation. So that's for us to learn and to be firm in believing in the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Talabul ilmi faridatun ala kulli muslim. Which means seeking the obligatory knowledge of the religion is obligatory on every Muslim. Whether male or female, no difference. Every accountable Muslim has to acquire a portion of knowledge, and that is called the personal obligatory knowledge. The personal obligatory knowledge, this portion must be acquired by every accountable person. Whoever does not acquire that portion of the religion will be sinful. And will be classified a major sinner. A major sinner. You know how worried you become when you think about these major sins? Drinking alcohol, fornication, gambling, stealing. And you ask Allah to protect you from these major sins. So you won't fall into any of them. You won't commit any of them. If you do not acquire the knowledge about the religion, you are a major sinner. Because there is no guarantee in that case that you are praying properly, that you are fasting properly, that you pay the right and the due amount of zakah, that if you go and perform hajj, that your hajj is valid. How would you guarantee all these acts of worship to be valid if you don't acquire the knowledge about the religion? As we mentioned, you will be performing something, but it could be not accepted. And ignorance is not an excuse. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was approached by one of the companions who prayed an invalid prayer in the mosque. As he finished, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet said to him, go back and pray because you haven't prayed. So he went back and he prayed for the second time. Then he came back to the Prophet. Then the Prophet said, go back and pray because you haven't prayed. Because in reality, your prayer was invalid. And the Prophet thought maybe this person wasn't aware that he is missing something. Maybe he will correct himself. After the third time, the Prophet said to him, go back and pray because you haven't prayed. He said to the Prophet, I swear by Allah the one who sent you truly to us, that I don't know except what you saw me doing. The Prophet didn't say to him, because you came to the mosque and you had a good intention, your prayer will be valid no matter what. No. He taught him how to pray from the beginning till the end of the prayer. So he didn't leave him in the state of ignorance. And he did not excuse him because he is ignorant. Rather, he taught him. So if you do not acquire the knowledge about religion, how would you be able to know if that act of worship you are performing is valid or invalid? You won't be able to. Because you can't distinguish between the valid prayer and the invalid prayer. The valid wudu and the invalid wudu, you won't be able to distinguish between them. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, some companions were making wudu, and as they were making wudu, they were washing their feet, only the front part of their feet, leaving the heel unwashed. The heel which is at the back of your feet, that is part of your foot that needs to be washed in the wudu. So they were washing only the front part of the feet without washing the heels. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew about this, he said to them, وَيْلٌ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ, meaning, those who are not washing their heels in wudu deserve that these heels will be exposed to hellfire on the day of judgment. He said to them, وَيْلٌ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. So a person may ask, what they were doing at that time? They were trying to make wudu. But what about the wudu? Was it valid or invalid? It was invalid. But because they did not wash that part of their feet, so they performed invalid wudu. And the invalid wudu renders the prayer performed after it invalid as well. So by not performing wudu properly, the prayer performed with that incorrect wudu, the prayer will be invalid. So that's why a person might be falling in all these matters, because he is ignorant. He hasn't learned the obligatory knowledge. So that portion of the knowledge is an obligation upon every accountable Muslim. They call it ilm al-hal. That's the due amount of knowledge that is needed for you as a Muslim. Learn about the creed to make sure that your belief in Allah, His messengers, His books, His angels, the day of judgment, and the destiny, that both good and evil are predestined by Allah Azza wa Jal. You learn about this to make sure that your belief in Islam is proper belief. Once you know that you have the proper belief in Allah and His Messenger, that means you have the foundation. Then you learn about purification, prayer, fasting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, رُبَّ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا السَّهَرُ وَالتَّعَبُ وَرُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعُ وَالْعَطَشُ. Meaning, a person may stay awake all night praying, but he won't get from his prayers all night except for that he stayed awake for the whole night and he became tired. That's what he got. وَرُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعُ وَالْعَطَشُ. Also, a person may fast and he doesn't get from his fasting except that he was hungry and thirsty. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. So it's not enough for one to follow his thoughts or opinions or views about the act of worship, and he would perform it in the way he finds or he thinks that's the suitable way. No. He has to follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to his Prophet. For that reason, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. Pray as you saw me praying. Not as you think. Not as you learn from your neighbor if he's not knowledgeable, or your grandfather or your grandmother if they are not knowledgeable. No, you need to seek the knowledge. That amount of knowledge that is due on you now, that you need to know it, about selling and buying. How many people get into transactions and dealings, but they don't ask which dealing is accepted, which one is not? Which transaction is classified as valid and permissible, and which one is classified as invalid and impermissible? They don't ask. This is negligence, carelessness. They don't acquire the knowledge about this. If a person, and you know this, if a person were to make a contract, business and the like, I know many of you have been through that experience. They go through it. Don't they go through it? To read about the conditions. And if there is something that is ambiguous, what do they know? They inquire about it. What does that mean? It's not clear. They want to make sure that this whole contract suits them. But subhanAllah, they never ask what's the religious ruling about this contract. Can I go through this contract or not? They get engaged in contracts and dealings without asking what is acceptable and what is not. And now you're going to see what the scholars mentioned about this case in particular. So that portion of knowledge that is classified as personal obligatory knowledge, that means if your father is Shaykh, that's not enough. You have to acquire it for yourself. If your mother performed Hajj 10 times, yeah, that's not enough for you. You have to acquire the knowledge about religion. That's for yourself. That's for your protection, as Imam Ali radiallahu anhu mentioned. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Whomever Allah willed goodness for makes him knowledgeable in the religion. So when you come to acquire the knowledge about religion and you are learning, remember, if you come to the lessons regularly, that means Allah willed goodness for you. You are privileged. If you see yourself not regular and attending lessons, maybe every now and then, once a month, once a year, you attend a class, your knowledge is very little, you are in a very hard and critical condition. But when you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aiding you to go every week, once, twice, for three times even, four times, to acquire the knowledge about religion, then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed goodness for you. In Sahih al-Bukhari, it's mentioned that one of the companions heard someone saying a hadith about the Prophet. He said to him, did you hear from the prophet, from his mouth? That person said, no. Rather, I heard from that person. He mentioned a person who was far away from him, 1 month distance. So he needs to travel 1 month to reach that person. One hadith of the Prophet, he wanted to make sure the Prophet said it, and he wanted to hear it from that person who heard it from the Prophet, from the mouth of the Prophet. What did he do? He traveled 1 month. That 1 month distance, just to learn this hadith. That's in Sahih al-Bukhari. Can you imagine? Now you are asked to travel 20 minutes, 10 minutes, in a car with air condition on. You have all these facilities to make you very comfortable. You sit in the mosque with air condition. All these facilities that are eased for us, subhanAllah Azza wa Jalla, facilitated for us, and still some people, the devil, will make them heavy from coming to the lessons. They feel too heavy to come to the lesson to learn about religion. Those are the ones who are missing a lot. So the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed goodness for, will facilitate for him the route to acquire the knowledge about religion. Now, some people might say, I fear Allah Azza wa Jal, but he's not knowledgeable. Allah Ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ, meaning, those who have the knowledge fear Allah the most. Those who have the knowledge fear Allah the most. The less knowledge, the less fear of God you would have in your heart. The more knowledge you acquire, that's when the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal in your heart increases. Now every one of us must have the fear of Allah in his heart to the extent that make one perform all the obligations and avoid all the sins. But some people, from the righteous Muslims, they go higher and higher and higher in ranks and stages. They reach the stage of wara. That's the extreme God-fearingness. They become very, very, very cautious to the extent that they won't accept to consume anything that is haram, no matter what. And if it were to happen, they would try to get rid of it by all means possible. I'll give you an example. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, may Allah raise his rank, had a servant. That servant, during the era of ignorance, passed by some people. He claimed to be able to do a type of ruqya, reciting words, which is not from the Islam. And they promised him if he does such and such, they will give him some food. So he did. Later on, he embraced Islam, and he was with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He passed by those people, so they gave him food. They remembered that during the era of ignorance, he did such and such, and they promised him with food, they gave him food. He brought this food to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu usually would ask him, where did you get it from? Every now and then. This time he forgot. He was very hungry, extremely hungry. So when he offered him the food, he trusted him. He took one bite and he chewed it, then he swallowed it. So now it's in his stomach. His servant said to him, you didn't ask me this time. You usually ask me, where did I get it from? He said, I was hungry, I forgot. Where did you get it from? And he told him. When he knew that it came from that source, which is that he made a type of recitation during the era of ignorance. Now they gave him food for that, which is incorrect recitation. He didn't want to keep that bite inside his stomach. Although that's it, he didn't know it's from haram source. He wasn't obligated Islamically to throw it out. But because he knew that's the source of it, he didn't want to keep it inside his stomach. So he tried to induce the vomit to take it out. He was forcing himself to vomit so he can take it out. He tried and tried and tried. His stomach is empty. They said to him, you can't take it out in that way. You need to drink water with it. Then he started drinking water and forcing himself to vomit until he took that bite out. He wasn't obligated to do so, but that's his level of God-fearingness. That's called al-wara. He said to them, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, everybody that is nourished from haram, then hellfire is more deserving of it. So he didn't want his body to be nurtured from haram. Although, as we mentioned, to confirm, he wasn't sinful because he didn't know and he wasn't obligated to take it out. But that's the level of God-fearingness. We ask Allah to make us reach that level of God-fearingness. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to one of the companions called Abu Zar, Ya Abu Zar. That's the meaning of it. If you go and learn one verse of the Quran, it would be more rewardable for you than praying 100 rak'ahs of the optional prayers. And if you were to go and learn a chapter of the knowledge, it would be more rewardable for you than praying 1,000 rak'ahs of the optional prayers. 1,000. You know, if you come in Ramadan to pray the Taraweeh prayer, 20 rak'ahs times 30 days, what number you would get? 600. Let us say you prayed also 3 rak'ahs of witr and 2 rak'ahs of sunnah after Isha. So that's 5. 2 sunnah, 3 witr. 5 times 30, that's 150. So if every day of Ramadan you pray Taraweeh plus sunnah plus witr, 3 rak'ahs, at the end of Ramadan 30 days, you would be praying 750 optional prayers. If you learn one chapter of the knowledge, that would be more rewardable than praying 1,000 rak'ahs of the optional prayers. I know, like, we're not like some other scholars in the past who used to pray a lot during the day and night. But if you come to acquire the knowledge, remember, one chapter of knowledge will be more rewardable for you than praying 1,000 rak'ahs of the optional prayers. Can you imagine the rewards you would get if you attend regular classes? That's why knowledge is very important. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran in Surah At-Tahrim, Ayah 6, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara wa quduhan nas wal hijara alayha malaikatun ghilazun shidad لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. This ayah, يا أيها الذين آمنوا, it's addressing the believers. يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O believers, قوا أنفسكم, protect yourselves, وأهليكم, and your families, نارا, from hellfire, which is fueled by people and stones. Hellfire will never be less regarding the tense of the heat that it has. It's fueling up, blazing. What is fueling it up? People and stones. You know, the sun and the moon will be thrown into hellfire on the day for judgment as a sign of a humiliation to those who used to worship them. So it will be fueled by people and stones. That's why we need to protect ourselves and our families from that fire that is fueled by people and stones. How can we fulfill this order from Allah Azza wa Jal? How can we protect them? Imam Ata ibn Abi Rabah, one of the followers of the companions, interpreted this verse by saying, one protects himself and his family from the torture of hellfire by learning how to pray, how to fast, how to perform pilgrimage, how to sell, how to marry, and how to divorce. So if you acquire the knowledge about religion, you will be able to know about these matters. Imam al-Bukhari specified a chapter. He titled the chapter بَابُ الْعِلْمِ قَبْلَ الْقَوْلِ وَالْعَمَلِ. So this chapter is titled the chapter of knowledge before sayings and actions. Knowledge. In it he said, if one acquires the obligatory knowledge of the religion, one acquires the ability to differentiate between what is lawful and what is unlawful, what is acceptable and what is not, and what is good and what is evil. So we would be able to differentiate between these matters. Our Shaykh, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him, used to encourage us every now and then to learn and to increase our knowledge. He was a great scholar. He was muhaddith. He was hafiz. He acquired the knowledge according, the knowledge of fiqh, according to the four schools of Islamic jurisprudence. So he was a scholar in Shafi'i Mazhab, Hanafi Mazhab, Maliki Mazhab, and Hanbali Mazhab. He memorized the whole Quran. He memorized the interpretation of the Quran. He learned the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a continuous chain of narrators. So he would tell you, I've heard this hadith from my shaykh. My shaykh heard it from such and such. That one heard it from such and such. He would tell you the chain of narrators. If you ask him about one man amongst the narrators, he tells you about his biography. Just, if you open book of Bukhari, let us say, you're going to realize that Bukhari is saying, I heard from this person, that person heard from that person, that person heard from that person, who is a companion who heard from the Prophet. So he would mention 3 or 4 people to reach the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those are the narrators. everyone passed the hadith on to the following one. If you ask him about every single one, he would tell you. That's why he's hafiz. Shaykh Abdullah Al-Harari, may Allah have mercy on him, stressed on the issue of acquiring the knowledge about religion.
أهم العلم العلم بالله وبرسوله ولا ينبغي أن يكون الإنسان قاصر الرغبة في الازدياد من العلم لقد قال الله تعالى لنبيه وقل رب زدني علما ولم يأمر نبيه بطلب شيء من الازدياد منه إلا العلم وقال الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام لا يشبع مؤمن من خير يسمعه وفي هذه الآية وهذا الحديث تحريض مؤكد على تحصيل العلم ونشره فلا يفتكم هذا الخير العظيم فاصرفوا إليه هممكم وفقكم الله.
Shaykh, may Allah have mercy on him, said in this advice, while he's encouraging us to learn about religion and to increase our knowledge, that Allah Ta'ala said to his Prophet, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا, meaning say, O my Lord, increase my knowledge. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala did not say to his Prophet, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي مَالًا, for instance, O my Lord, increase my wealth, increase my children. Allah did not order the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask of any increase except with the knowledge, the increase of knowledge. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to his Prophet. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, لا يشبع مؤمن من خير يسمعه حتى يكون منتهاه الجنة. Meaning the believer is like the one who is thirsty. As the one who is thirsty would be drinking, not quenching his thirst, the believer will keep on acquiring the knowledge about religion until he ends up in paradise. And in this ayah and this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is emphasizing the importance of acquiring the knowledge about religion. That's why our Shaykh said you should put forth effort to acquire the knowledge about religion. And to, as well, to show that emphasis from the hadith as well, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَّلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. So Allah facilitates a route to paradise for the one who follows a route seeking the knowledge of the religion. So as you are selecting that route where you are going to learn, that will facilitate for you the route to paradise. So the ultimate success, which is to be successful in the hereafter, the person who acquires the knowledge as it is prescribed in Islam enters the gateway to success in this life and in the hereafter. So knowledge brings you success in this life and in the hereafter. In this life, you make sure your marriage is valid. You know how to deal with your wife based on the rules of the religion. You know how to buy and sell lawfully. And even when you make sure you want to abide by the rules of the religion, trust me, that's protection for you. Every dealing, every contract you do in Islam, it preserves the rights for both, the two parties. So when they make sure that they want to abide by these rules, no one will be wronged, because Islam guarantees the rights for each person. To be knowledgeable and implement the knowledge, that will help you as well to perform the prayers properly, fasting, pilgrimage in a valid manner. So the one who is knowledgeable, and that's the benefit of it, will be led by his knowledge to piety and sincerity. And that in turn leads you to paradise. And last and final message, remember that those in paradise will be in ranks based on the piety, the level of the piety. So although all the believers will be admitted into paradise on the day for judgment, but they won't be in the same ranks. Some will have higher ranks than others. Some will have higher ranks than others. So you think about paradise, you think about the ranks in paradise, and you say, yes, I want to be, insha'Allah ta'ala, in the highest ranks of paradise. Because to be on the side of paradise is not like being in the middle of paradise. To be in the middle of paradise is not like being in the highest levels of paradise. And Allah knows best. We say La ilaha illallah 3 times.